Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub, and I'm the leader of the Fidgetal Revolution, as well as a master printer and hybrid artist at Indian Hill Imageworks in Pawlet, Vermont, as well as the inventor of the Y-Strap and the Nopod. This is part two of a discussion we're having on Fujia Cross and Diafine Developer. If this is your first audio blog that you've been listening to regarding these posts of Diafine Developer, I suggest scrolling back a few pages on the Fidgetal Revolution, as there's been many, many, many posts part of this sort of saga exploring different films from Tri-X to TMY2 and now the Fujia Cross, different processing techniques as well as videos and other instructional audio blogs. So a lot of information, and definitely take a few minutes and go through it. So I've just completed a very exhaustive look at Across and Diafine, and my conclusions are that it's a fantastic combination. The Diafine, for me, has not disappointed me yet. Every film that I've been testing with it has absolutely turned out the way that I wanted. And I should mention that my purposes for Diafine Developer and the different black and white negative materials I'm processing with it are for the purposes of scanning. I'm not doing any testing for the wet darkroom. All of my purposes are for scanning purposes only. And so that's sort of what my criteria are when I'm making the negatives, is what's going to give me the best possible scan. When testing the Across and Diafine, after determining what I thought was the best exposure index, which was 160, by the way, as a little note, you can definitely use the Across anywhere from 100 to probably 250. 250 definitely makes sure your shadow detail is placed correctly. But I found that 160 was consistently the best. I spent a fair amount of time playing around with the developer, the Part A and Part B, and trying to see just how much I could possibly squeeze out of this combination. I ran tests from 3+3, you know, Part A, Part B, all the way out to 6+10 with a 2-minute standing development to increase edge effects. I tried everything. And I came up with some interesting observations in the process. First off, there's been a lot of people who have said that it doesn't really matter how long you process in Diafine. As long as you do at least 3 minutes in A and 3 minutes in B, it doesn't matter, you know, it'll still be fine. Well, that's true and it's not true. While you will have a usable negative at longer times, say 6 and 6 or 5 and 5, there is an optimal sweet spot range that each particular film falls into. And what happens when you go for a much longer time, for instance, I did one at 6 and 10, you get phenomenal shadow detail. I mean, phenomenal shadow detail. Slightly coarser grain, but sharper. But what happens is the compensating nature of the developer begins to compress more and more values further up the scale. And as a result, a lot of your really higher values become very difficult to separate out in Photoshop. I mean, I struggled with one that I shot as a test, and I couldn't believe how hard it was to open up some of these high values. And then I had another negative of the exact same image that I had processed at 4 and 4 and had no problem whatsoever extracting that highlight detail. And if you look at the negative side by side, if you were to, say, take a negative of a cross and process it for 6 and 10 and then do another one at 5 and 5, they're very different looking negatives. They're both usable, but they're different. In terms of scanning, what you're really looking for, in my opinion, is a processing time that an A is absorbing all the possible reducer possible into the emulsion, which generally speaking will happen within 5 minutes. There's no reason to go longer than 5 minutes in A. And in my opinion, 3 to 4 minutes is probably plenty. And when you get into Part B, what you're looking for really is to make sure that your shadows are fully developed. Your highlights are going to exhaust off very quickly because of the way the two-part developer works. Yet what happens is that those high midtones and beyond start to compress up as you go longer. So there is sort of an ideal time when you want to stop in B. Now, if you follow the box directions, you notice the longest one they list is 5 and 5, and that definitely fits well within sort of the safety margin that I see. Yet it's very interesting. I'm glad that I did do the test. You get a little more film speed too at the longer developments, but what happens in the highlights is not worth that extra little bit of speed. So I set it on 4.5, 4.5. I ran a test at 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5. And that was A and B. And I also ran variables of doing B shorter than A. I literally ran out of 35 millimeter film at one point and had to start doing testing in 120. And it was just very interesting. 4.5, 4.5 seemed to be an easy neg to scan. I could grab highlight detail that was just absolutely incredible and be able to pull it out. And I could at 5 as well, at 5 and 5, but if it was a really high exposed area of a piece of film, it became more difficult. So 4.5, 4.5 is what I set it on. Now, if you look at the images that are part of this post, the first image, I was shot up at Kelvin Coolidge's home site up in here in Vermont, and I can't believe how much snow was up there. Where I live in Vermont, it's like the balmy tropics, but way up in the mountains, man, they've still got a lot of snow. I'm up there trying to take these photographs, and I'm wearing like Croc sandals and no socks and freezing my ass off. But if you look at the first image, difficult image. It was in the shade. It was not in direct sun. Yet you've got the snow, the dark building, and then a white building next to it. The contrast range, even though it wasn't lit in bright light, was still quite large. And what's amazing about it, when you look at the print, is that you can see all of the detail in the snow. The areas of the snow, and these were the first ones here was metered with a spot meter. Some of the snow values were placed right around a zone 7.5, almost a zone 8. And absolutely, absolutely just perfect detail. You can see every single piece of snow and ice on the ground. And that's just amazing. And yet, my shadow detail up underneath the roof is just perfect. I could not get over how absolutely amazing the overall dynamic range and clarity was in that file. The other image underneath it, which is the other barn sort of image of the door and then the dark side, that had a lot of snow that was in direct sun. And I chose that. And these are just snapshots, by the way. But I chose that image because that large white wall was very low contrast. I mean, it's just white. And yet, at the same time, on the final print, you can see all this beautiful micro texture and detail within the wood that perfectly showed up. And some of those values in the snow, in the bright snow there on the ground, were up around zone 8, zone 8.5. So they're fairly bright, yet once again, when you zoom into them or look at it on a print, you can absolutely perfectly see full distinction. You know, and that's why I set it on the 4.5, 4.5. And negatives that got up at 5 and a little bit more, those values became harder to extract. So 4.5, 4.5 seems to be nice. The other image now of my wife with her hand sort of on her chest in the little Banana Republic zipper, that's shot in 35 millimeter. And what's interesting about it is how unbelievably nice the Leica lenses are that I have. I couldn't believe the sharpness. I always thought my Rolly was sharp, but not compared to the Leica glass. That image is a 16 by 24 inch scan, so at 480 dpi, so it's an incredibly high resolution scan. The scan was done at 6300 optical dpi, and so it's 163 megabyte grayscale file. And the crop that you're seeing, which is of the zipper, and you can read the word Banana Republic, that's approximately a 3 by 4 inch section taken out of the larger print. Once again, this is 35 millimeter. Absolutely unbelievable. That was shot with a 90 millimeter lens at f2.8, which is why there's not a whole lot of depth of field. But it's amazing how absolutely clean and how absolutely sharp the detail and the tonality is just fantastic. So, you know, after having run, you know, dozens of rolls of film and different tests and all sorts of different things, I feel very comfortable with the Diafine in the Tri-X that I'm using and also in the Fuji Across. It's a wonderful combination. The Across gives me a 160 exposure index, and I run my Tri-X at 1250. And so between the two films, I can handle just about any situation that I need to photograph, which is quite nice, all from one developer. My next test that I'm going to be doing is going to be testing the T-Max 100 film in Diafine, and I'm just kind of curious to see how it compares to the Across. And thank you so very much for listening. I'd love to hear your comments and thoughts, and have a great day. Take care.